you want a strong spirit. Why is that important? And I gave you Proverbs 18, verse 14. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or who can bear it? You want your spirit strong to sustain you. Coronavirus is going to come and go. But there might be some other things in life that until we're 90 years old, we encounter. We want strong spirits. It will sustain us. Another incentive that I keep meditating on, and I don't think anyone's as excited as I am about this. I don't know why this sent me to the moon. Ecclesiastes 10:10. I put a post about it today with that little axe. If the axe is dull, why do you want a strong spirit? And you don't sharpen its edge, you got to use your own strength. But wisdom brings success. Don't you want to be successful in what you do? I don't care if it's getting to the grocery store, or I don't care if it's launching whatever. If you don't keep yourself sharpened, and for us, you know, that's the fundamentals of Christianity, the Word of God, Bible reading, prayer, fellowshipping, staying sharp. If not, you become dull. And don't get mad. You do. You can become dull. And I'll tell you what, when you're dull, you have to pull from so much of your own resources and your own out there just to stay abreast, because you let yourself get dull. Lord just spoke to me. You know another danger? Dull of hearing, man. Don't let yourself become dull of hearing. How do you know if you become dull? I'm not going to go this route, so someone hang on now. You might need this. How do you know if you've become dull of hearing? Hebrews will tell you. Your heart's getting hard. Your heart's getting hard to the things of God, and it might look like this. I know, I've heard it, I'm not in the mood, okay? Hard of hearing. Hey, did you know that da-da-da-da? Okay, great, that works for you. You know what, it's just not happening for me, so maybe I'll pick it up, you know, in a month. Dull of hearing. That axe isn't being sharpened anymore. Things of the world start just leeching onto you, and you're allowing them instead of boxing gloves. Oh, no, you don't. Not in my house. Come on. Right? That was a word for someone now. So don't become dull of hearing. How do I know, Anna? Your heart starts to kind of drift away. Kind of drift away. An evil heart of unbelief. Something happened and it caused you to go, well, what? That happened. That happened to them. I don't know anymore. You get yourself focused. God will answer those questions for you later. Don't let yourself drift. Boy, that's a word. You want to be established and unmovable. Another scripture. Again, these are being recorded, so you don't have to be, you know. Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You want to have a strong spirit that when Coronaville, death number, you know what I'm doing. You know I have great, you know what I'm doing that just to show you. If you're not careful, faith comes by hearing. You best be watching what you be hearing. See, now I'm preaching. Someone's pulling this stuff out of me major. Woo! Right? You're not going to be afraid of evil tidings. You're because you've been sharpening that axe. Your sharp Holy Ghost is going to rise up within you with truth to combat those evil tidings. Your heart's so fixed. I just must pause. I wish I had a live audience in front of me because I could just... Oh, gosh. Anyway, what about Paul in Acts 20, 24? None of these things move me. How about you? How about me? Are we sharpened? Strong spirit, sustaining to where someone comes along with the other, you know, man, there was no toilet paper. Okay. None of these things move me. Hey, did you know that we're at that the city, you know, Cantrell? Okay. None of these things move me. I'm not of this government. Don't get mad at me. I obey the laws. I'm under the government of Jesus Christ. He'll move heaven and earth on my behalf. It's just the way I believe. Amen. Then we went over the voice of one crying in the wilderness, in the desert, prepare. In Coronaville, prepare. In the dry time of the wilderness, prepare. Prepare what? To be with God, to meet him, to make sure your heart's right. And then to plant seeds now of what you want to see when you're getting to the other side. We're going to the other side of this thing. I love what Pastor Jamie preached, and I shared it last week. Think about, I shared it, in fact, with several people in text threads. Remember the Red Sea? When we watch, you know, the Ten Commandments, and we see Moses, and we see in one fell swoop, they're all crossing over, and they make it to the other side. But like Pastor Jamie said, we don't know how long that took. We just see a million people, and the waters going up, which they did. The Bible's true. But it took some time to get those people to cross through. And I thought, that is the best scenario. And then he said this, but we're all crossing through. Every one of us. Again, I can't see on my screens. We're all girls and guys. We're getting there. We're crossing through this thing. Really. And we're crossing through it successfully and victoriously because of God. We're doing this. What are you planting now that when you get to the other side into that promised land, that new, you're going to go, man, I'm so glad I put some time into this now because, man, those seeds are in there. What would it be? What would it be? Amen. So we did that. We then went into the living water, the seven wells of the Holy Ghost last week, lying inside of us based out of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Spring up, oh well, during those dry times, we sprung up wisdom, we sprung up understanding, we sprang up, someone help me, where's Stephanie Zulaw? We sprang up counsel, we sprang up the spirit of the Lord, we sprang up the fear of the Lord. You'll see it on Isaiah 11. And then we talked about keeping up our spiritual disciplines. All right, here we go today. I say this, watch out, because now that you're getting strong, and it might take all year to go through those first two weeks of teaching. It's okay. But these are just at the top of the chart. My Lord, this stuff would take, you're going to have your own. But these are just some things. In fact, I had this first one come to my desk. I read it. We had an ADM meeting yesterday, and I read it with our team. Once you're strong in your spirit, these things will try to suck the strength out of you. Whatever words you want to use, you use, baby. But they're going to try to pull from you. That's a very nice way to put it. You know, I got to be careful because if I go on top, I got to watch the way I word things. Okay, these things are going to try to pull. Number one, man, they're in the same family. I even have a book on it, Power, Love, and a Sound Mind. Thank you, Tara Shaw. She just ordered 15 of these for her Bible study. Worry, care, I'm clumping them together, fear, anxiety, all the same family. They have the same root. They're all together. They're sitting on their family tree communicating. I'm not kidding. They all hang together. Worry, care, fear, and anxiety. So why am I bringing this up? They will try, if you let them, to suck from you, pull from you that strength that you've been building up. That sharpened axe that you've been taking to the woodshed and saying, I'm sharpening myself with the word of God. They're going to try to say, really? Really? You think you're all that? Let's test the waters a little bit. A couple definitions that came across my desk yesterday. I'm just going to read them the way they came across my desk. Here's a stat. This was from Pastor Rick Warren. I've got several quotes from different people around the country. Worry is taking its toll on the world today. Late last month, a poll by the American Psychiatric Association noted that nearly half of Americans are anxious about getting the COVID-19 virus. Close to two-thirds were concerned about a family member catching it. Now, I understand this. I'm not making light of it, but I'm trying to show you reality and how we have solutions to this reality. Two-thirds of people also feared the long-lasting effects of the economy due to their jobs. I'm talking to my husband every night about his businesses and what's going on. I know that. Here's the danger. That can revolve into worry and care. Now watch this definition. Worry is a warning light that you have an area you haven't fully given over to God. Worrying about, think of a topic right now that you're thinking, man, I got some care on that thing. Worry, anxiety, care, I don't care, whatever you want to call it, it's the same family tree. If that's perpetual in your thought realm, you wake up with it, you talk about it at lunchtime, you talk about it at dinner, you talk about it with your family, it comes out of your mouth. There's something in there that you've not surrendered to God and not gone to the Word of God on it, or else it wouldn't keep popping its head. You probably are stepping on it and not uprooting it and saying, oh no, you won't, because the Bible says this. Worry is a warning light that you have an area, that I have an area that I haven't fully given over to God. Just be thinking. Just think. Proverbs 12:25. Worry weighs a person down. Telling you things that will try to zap that strong spirit out of you. You don't have to let it. Fear and anxiety will drain you. Peter says, give it all. Cast it all onto God because he cares for you. We weren't created. Our shoulders aren't big enough to handle it. I've got 11 ways to renew your mind in this book. Am I trying to sell the books? No, they're doing well. Thank you. But if you want one, you can certainly get it. Renewing the mind according to the Word of God with all those wackadoodle things that the videotape keeps playing in your brain. Things that zap you, fear, worry, anxiety, care, all that's in the same tree. Number two. Oh, I have solutions here. I won't even take time to go over them. Let Jesus be your shepherd, trusting God one day at a time. You know, a neat thing some of you might want to do, I've done this. You might want to memorize Psalm 23 if worry is really trying to grip you. And I'll tell you why. You take each line of the Psalm 23 and you're going to see the covenant names of God. That's another whole teaching coming through those. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Then you say, God, you're my shepherd. You're watching over me. What does a shepherd do? You're feeding me. You're guiding me, right? I shall not want. That's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You might want to take Psalm 23, commit it to memory. And when that yang, yang, yang starts to rise up, you'll have one of those lines in Psalm 23 to come back at it and say, oh no, 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 you don't. Not in my house. No. You follow that? Thumbs up. I think my screen's freezing on some of you, but it's okay. What about this one that tries to zap you? Unresolved areas or issues. Hannah and I had a real good talk, and I've been having this talk with other people as well. So say after this, you're crossing into something new, right? I mean, Coronaville will lift. It's good. Can we look at it like maybe a new year? What do you do at the end of every old year? You say, you know, oh, the quang, tang, tang. You leave it all behind, supposedly, and you don't carry it into your new year, do you? At least you try. At least we all try. Why not, if you have unresolved issues, oh my gosh, would you agree, thumbs up, it can zap your strength. Unresolved problems, unresolved issues. It's just not resolved. And it whirls in your brain. You say, well, isn't that the same as worry, care, anxiety? Probably. It probably triggers it. It's probably climbing up the tree bark. Worry, anxiety, because it's unresolved. Here's your goal. Why not take now, unresolved issue, tackle it right now so that when you're crossing over into your new, we're going to all know when the new, we're going to all go, oh, I get to not only sit at a coffee shop, life's going to be kicking strongly again because it's our day. Our day's coming. You're going to sense the Spirit of God launching you into something. Work on it now. Unresolved areas, don't take them. You remember Katrina, the definition of Katrina means cleansing. Do you guys remember that? I keep thinking of that with Coronaville, cleansing. Wash it all away, man. Just wash it all away. I'm starting new. Does that mean you don't carry in the good things you've been working on for 40? No, you take the good as you're going into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb had a good report. They knew what to do and they took it in with them. Dump now what you don't want to take with you. Dump it. Dump it. Number three. What about this one? What about sin? Talk about things that will weaken your strong system. Oh my goodness. Psalm 31:10, sin has drained my strength. That's so powerful. You say, well, what's sin? You know, sin is when you willfully miss the mark. I mean, you know, God gives us grace when we don't know any better, you know, when we're whatever, whatever. But sin is when you're just deliberately with your own flesh saying, I don't give a, you'll know. Because the Spirit of God will rise up in you and say, man, and you'll have to repent of it. Sin will just pull that strong spirit out of you. Not worth it. Remember that line, I wrote this down. Remember this, sin will take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay a higher price than you ever wanted to pay. It's not worth it. Whether it's sinning with your eyes, I don't know, sinning with your tongue, sinning with doubt, sinning with, you know, bitterness, offenses, it's sin, man. Just, would you thumbs up if it zaps your strength? It just does. Talking about things that will zap your strength. I've got just a few more. An overloaded life will zap your spiritual strength. Luke 10:40. Martha, amplified, overly occupied, and too busy, was distracted with much serving. I've been guilty. I wrote a book about it. I talk about the plates that were spinning. I talk about warning lights that God was giving me. Hey, is Melanie James on? There's Melanie James. Melanie, say hi to everybody if you can. I know everyone's muted. Can she be unmuted, Kristen? Let me see. Hank, bear with me. I'm almost finished, gang.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Everyone say hi to Melanie James.
Hey.
Girls and guys, in my book, she's the nurse who I called when I was breaking down. And she's the one who helped look up the definition of anxiety in her nurse's manual. And the definition was to strangle. And I said, well, I feel like I'm being strangled right now. And Melanie was the one who said, Anna. And I mean, we were talking, I talk about plate spinning. What am I getting to? Things that will zap that strong spirit that you've taken so long to build, an overloaded life. We discovered there were so many things I was doing because I was the yes person and I always just was fearing man and a bunch of nonsense, you know. It did a number on me. And God taught me through that. That's when he took me to Matthew 11:28 and said, I said, learn of me. And if you're trying to learn everything else, I don't know who you're learning. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. I mean, I just went through a whole, you know, it's in the book, but that's Melanie James. Melanie, would you say as a nurse, I know you're a retired nurse, but you're still around life. Do you see the anxiety still trying to grip people? I mean.
Yes, I do. But people try to talk themselves out of it. You know, it's a fast forward, like it's going to be better when it's over. It's going to be better when it's over. But what about now?
Wow. You know,
what about now? And we have to occupy now.
That's brilliant advice. That goes along with Pastor Christina saying, what about, yeah, be present in this moment.
Right.
And that anxiety comes when we're constantly the hamster on the wheel. Yeah, going into the future. That's, you guys, that's just, that has come up like several times. That's so powerful to be present in your moment and say, this is what I know now. This is what God has given me mercy for today. This is new to me right now. And then the Holy Ghost will keep guiding you on scriptures and everything. Excellent. Excellent. All right. I've learned this in the 80s when you're having an overloaded life and you're trying to, and you're going to the scriptures first, which you should, to God first early in the morning. But I love this line. You read the word, take the word and cast the care. What a deal. Take the promise. Cast the care. I just think that's a great deal. That just came back to me in some of my old notes. Take the promise, leave the cares, what it says. So So it's like, God, I feel like I'm ripping you off. I get to take the promise and I'm leaving all the garbage with you. Yep. Sounds too good to be true. Take the promise. God, you haven't given me a spirit of fear. You gave me power, love, and I'm sound in my mind. I'm going to take that videotape recording and I'm going to, here, God, get here. Here's your present. Take the promise. Leave the care. What a deal. What a deal. Things that zap your strength. I talk about keeping your, there's an erosion. If there's an erosion in your spiritual disciplines, that will zap you. Remember we talked about the secret to success is in your daily routine. You meet daily at the gates of God, etc. I've got two more. I won't have time to go into them. Relationship issues will zap your strength. Any thumbs up out there? Relationship issues, arguments will drain your spiritual strength. You've taken all this time to build up in one argument, and man, I'm exhausted talking about that. Jealousy, offense, bitter, strife, unforgiveness, relationship issues, passing judgment on someone. You haven't been in their shoes. You have no right. Zapping you of spiritual strength. Get in your lane. Get focused. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself and go on and fulfill your destinies. I want you to repeat these after me and we'll close. You ready? Put your hand on your heart. Boy, I was preaching today. Someone's pulling this stuff out of me big time. Ready? Psalm 112, 7 and 8. I'll watch your lips to see if you're repeating it after me. I am not afraid of evil tidings because my heart is fixed trusting in God. Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who is empowering me with inner strength. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And one more. Romans 8:37. In all these things, everything I just went over, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me.